Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Loyalton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. And Pastor Dave Wallenberg, it is a blessing to be here with you today. We have had a wonderful past week here of Vacation Bible School, and this whole place was decorated. We just have a couple little pieces left over for all of you to see today. But those colorful flags were draped across these lights, and we had big backdrops up here. We had about 55 students throughout the week. It was wonderful as we got to celebrate our Savior together. And so if you see anything that happens to be out of place today, that's probably why. Like I said, things kind of got turned over this past week. We're sort of getting back to normal today, but what a blessing it is to gather on a Sunday morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ to worship the Lord. We're going to be following Divine Service Setting 2 today, and you will find that beginning on page 167. I invite you to stand as we begin our worship with the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We turn now to the intro printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord is your keeper. The sun shall not strike you by day. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us join together and pray to the power of God. We pray. Heavenly Father, during his earthly ministry, your Son Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. By the healing medicine of the word and sacraments, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we may live eternally. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve children of men. This is the word of the Lord. Gradual is found for you on the inside cover of the bulletin printed below the column. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Our epistle reading today comes from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, and then proceeding on to verse 13. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a commandment, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no left. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter. Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side. A great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. A great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Oh, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And he laughed at him. But he took them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. He strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard God's word, we join together in speaking the first part of faith that we share with millions of Christians around the world. Today, we will do so using the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down to heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Congregation may be seated. For our sermon today, it will be number 566, "By Grace I'm Saved." the sermon today is the epistle reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul is reminding the Corinthians about a promise that they have made, a promise to give an offering, to sacrifice some of their money for the good of those who are in the church. And that's always a difficult thing to talk about. It's always a difficult thing for individuals to do. But Paul brings up Jesus in this passage, talking about how Jesus also made a promise and followed through on it at certainly great personal cost to himself. That Jesus is the one who made himself poor so that we could be rich, not just rich in an earthly sense, but certainly that we would receive all of the riches and treasures of heaven. This is your promise. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, speaking as somebody who grew up outside of the St. Louis area, one of the things that has always kind of fascinated and intrigued me going back to my days of seminary has been the St. Louis Zoo. And I say that, just right off the bat, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really an animal person myself. So going to the zoo as a form of entertainment has never really been big on my list. But I can recognize the importance of the St. Louis Zoo just as an iconic St. Louis institution. And also, the zoo is always going to be a part of the story of how the Wallenbergs ended up in Boylston. I don't know if any of you remember that part of the story or if I ever told you that part of the story before. But it was about 8 years ago that we just so happened to be up in St. Louis, and we just so happened to be at the zoo when Steve Eichmeyer called me on the phone and told me that all is about to be called as the next pastor here in Kennedy Oilton. So, of course, the rest is history, but I'll always have that moment in my mind standing there at the St. Louis Zoo when I got that phone call, so it will be part of the story. Obviously, the most unique thing about the St. Louis Zoo is the fact that it is free to the public. And that might be one of those things where, you know, if you've grown up around here, you might just kind of take that for granted. You say, oh, yeah, the St. Louis Zoo is free. It's always been free. It's always going to be free. But I don't know, sometimes we forget how insane that sounds to people who are not from this area. I grew up in Connecticut, and the closest major zoo to me as a kid was the Bronx Zoo in New York City. And I just looked it up. This year, the Bronx Zoo charges $37.50 for an adult to get in, and a child ticket is $28.75. So, for a family the size of mine, two adults and three kids, you're going to spend $160 plus just getting into the zoo. That doesn't include anything for parking or what you're going to spend on drinks and food and all that other stuff. $160. You take that and you multiply it times all of the families that come to visit the zoo on an annual basis, it's literally millions of dollars that we're talking about that the St. Louis Zoo leaves on the table every year by not charging any admission whatsoever. It's really an amazing thing. It seems crazy, doesn't it? But it all goes back to some well-known legislation in the state of Missouri from 50 years ago, over 50 years ago, 1970. They passed this legislation that created a tax district, a very special tax district. They call it the Zoo and Museum District, and it's the property taxes from those who live in that area that provide the majority of the funding for the zoo and the art museum and the science center. And the phrasing that was used back when all of that was passed is that these institutions shall remain forever free. Forever free. So, over 50 years later, they continue to do what they can to honor that. And of course, it's getting more and more difficult to do with each passing year. There are plenty of critics out there who express their opinion that the zoo should just forget about those old promises and just get with the times. You know, do what every other zoo does and charge some admission. Even a dollar a person would bring in a lot more than not charging anything. But so far, they've resisted that temptation they continue to make it free to the public at great personal cost. And I think we can say that we appreciate the sacrifice that they've made, and certainly the sacrifice of those who live within that special tax district to make it possible for families like mine and plenty of others to go and enjoy the zoo for free. I hope that they're able to keep that going for a long, long time, forever, possibly. It's refreshing. It's refreshing when an institution or just an individual ends up following through on a promise or a commitment that they make. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, is not as commonplace as it used to be. But when somebody keeps their word, when they simply do what they say they're going to do, not only does that say something good about them and their own personal integrity, but it also works to build relationships between people, between the promiser and the promisee. I think that's the word, I'm not sure, but we'll go with it, right? That it builds trust between people when someone does what they say that they're going to do. And I was thinking about all of that as I was reading through this passage in St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, this portion of the letter that has made up our epistle reading for the day. You know, at first glance, when you read through this passage, it just seems like here's another passage from the Bible that talks about money, right? And, I mean, on the one hand, that is what this is about, right? Paul is talking about money. He's talking about an offering, collecting an offering from the Corinthians that was intended to be used to help benefit Christians who are living in poverty in and around Jerusalem. This was something that Paul did as he went all throughout the Greek world. He collected offerings to benefit those folks who were living in Jerusalem. But clearly, this is about more than just that. There's something else going on here. This is about more than just money. This is also about doing what you say you're going to do. This is about following through and doing the right thing as a response to the many gifts that God has first given to us. Here at church, we've had this opportunity over the summer so far to kind of walk little by little through this book, 2 Corinthians. And you might remember a few Sundays ago when I was preaching on a passage from earlier in this letter, I had mentioned that St. Paul personally knew the Corinthians better than most of the people that he ministered to. That's because Paul had spent a large portion of his time in the city of Corinth. He spent 18 months there, which is quite a long time when you consider Paul's overall ministry. And when Paul was living in Corinth and when he had established the ministry there, I mean, everything was going really well, and people were really close with him. You know, he had a successful ministry. He was preaching the gospel. He was bringing people from the city where he had folks from all different kinds of walks of life and all different backgrounds, and he's bringing them the truth of God's word, the truth of who Jesus Christ really was, who he is for all of us. Everything was great, but then as soon as Paul left the city of Corinth and he went and moved on to other places, that's when a whole bunch of problems popped up for the Christians who were there in that congregation. There was all kinds of things that went wrong. There were false teachers that came in, and they were trying to lead people away from what Paul had been teaching them. There were all these divisions and factions that popped up within the congregation. So now you got little pockets of people that are fighting with one another and they can't get along. And on top of all of that, there's all of these abuses that are taking place. They're abusing God's gifts to them. They're abusing the freedom that they had as Christians. And they're allowing for all of these sinful practices to take place. They weren't disciplining people. They weren't telling people that they needed to stop doing these evil, wicked things. It got really messy. So, long story short, Paul ends up having to write his first letter to them, 1 Corinthians. And that's his way of kind of cutting them down the sides, like smacking them around a little bit and telling them, look, you can't act this way. You can't do these things. It's Paul's way of disciplining them from afar. That's 1 Corinthians. And human nature being what it is, you can kind of imagine that there was a mixed reaction, to say the least, to that kind of a letter. some people who just got really, really angry with Paul. You know, they thought he was on their side, and all of a sudden he's telling them they can't act a certain way. So in that time period between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there were a number of people in that church who all of a sudden wanted nothing to do with Paul. They were very, very angry with Paul. And so, because of that, clearly some of them, based on what Paul writes here in chapter 8, some of them had lost their enthusiasm for this offering, which they had started collecting at least a year prior. They kind of lost their enthusiasm for it, not because they didn't think it was a worthy cause to help the poor who were living in Jerusalem, but because they were just mad at Paul. And they kind of, some of them, saw this as one of Paul's pet projects. So since they were kind of on the outs with Paul, they didn't really want to continue with this offering and this collection anymore. They had actually started the project, but Paul is having to encourage them here to follow through, to finish what they started. Paul's got to talk about this with them. He's got to come at it from somewhat of a different angle. And that's why he brings up the Macedonians here in the first part of this passage. He talks about this church is Macedonian. Here's what he says in the first couple of verses. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed to a wealth of generosity on their part. So, essentially what Paul's saying to them is, look, you have all these churches in Macedonia, which, by the way, are a lot smaller than the Corinthian church. And they have a lot less money than the Corinthian church does. And, oh, by the way, it's not about Paul's relationship with them either, because he didn't spend nearly as much time with Macedonians as he did with the Corinthians. And yet, somehow, those folks up in Macedonia are willing to give their offering beyond their needs. And not only that, but they're excited about it. They're really, really enthusiastic about it. So this is not about the amount of money at all. It's not even about money in general. It's more about following through on this promise that they've made, doing the right thing as a response to the gospel. It's about doing that even when it's not necessarily easy or convenient to do. Even when the circumstances change, which in their minds, that 1 Corinthians letter can change circumstances for them. But even when that happens, it's just like what I was saying with St. Louis Zoo, the temptation is to get with the times and change and go back on old promises, and Paul saying, no, we don't do that. Because this is not how the Lord treats us. So by listening to Paul's words here, and by doing the right thing, the Corinthians, in this particular circumstance, and really all Christians who have been encouraged by these same words of Paul for the last 2,000 years, we have this opportunity to become a living example of the way that our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, deals with this world and the people who live in this world. Because the fact is, we have a God who has also made some really, really big promises to us. And those promises came not just a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 50 years ago. We're talking about promises that God made all the way back, just after the creation of the world, in the Garden of Eden, when God made a promise that we human beings would be forever free. That He would send us a Savior. And the Savior would stand in our place and remove the barrier of sin that has existed between God and mankind, and that we would be given the ability to live forever in His presence, and we would be set free from all of the pain and suffering that brokenness of sin causes in our lives and in this world. But in order to make that happen, God had to make really big personal sacrifice. He had to sacrifice his only son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had to suffer and die as an innocent man. This is giving up a whole lot more than just, say, the millions of dollars. $1,000 of admission money that the zoo foregoes year after year. We're talking about a huge sacrifice. Jesus shedding his blood in order to keep that old promise. The thing is, as difficult as that was, he does it gladly. He does it willingly. He does it with all kinds of enthusiasm. Even more enthusiasm than the Macedonian Christians had when they gave their money. Paul says in verse 9 that though Jesus was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. He gave it all, he paid it all, so that for us, this amazing gift of life will always remain forever. It's refreshing when someone does what they say they're going to do. Right? It's a blessing. And we, like the Corinthians, have all kinds of opportunities to model this in the way that we live, in the kinds of decisions that we make, the way that we follow through on our own promises. And just to mention a very obvious thing that's going on in our congregation right now, and this is not intended to just be a commercial, but what a blessing it is that this reading is assigned on the day that we've designated as one of our new solar Sundays as we prepare to raise the funds that are needed for this new solar project. We have all kinds of information about that in the bulletin, but what it comes down to is this is something that the congregation has decided that we're going to do. Something we've said. We are going to do this. And it's not easy. Right? It's obviously not easy to come up with over $100,000. Yet this is something that we as a congregation have identified, something that can be a great blessing for this ministry and can help us to proclaim the gospel in this community and beyond for generations to come. So we also need to hear Paul's encouragement in these words too. This is not easy. But Paul tells us, just like the Macedonian Christians, that we, with the Lord's help, can also excel in this act of grace, and we can also overflow in a wealth of generosity, being willing and excited about giving, even giving beyond our means because of the one who has already given us so much, the one who has made us forever free. In his most holy and precious name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, who surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today we do have a few updates for you from the prayer list. This week listed under hospitalized, we have Dorothy Brody, who was hospitalized this past week with hip and left knee. She is now in the bounce back rehab program over at Centralia Manor and hoping to regain her strength, so we keep her in our prayers. Also, last week we mentioned that John Seifert was hospitalized. But we give thanks to God that he was able to come back home. He's actually with us today. And so we'll continue to pray that the Lord be with you as you recover. Today, we remember the family and friends of Kathy Brink Bowen, who passed away last Sunday. And there is a memorial service planned for Kathy that will take place here at Trinity, right here in the sanctuary, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. And finally, we give thanks and praise to God today for the baptism of Lucille Marie Holly, who is the infant daughter of Donovan and Kelly Holly. And Lucille was baptized yesterday into the new old church building that was constructed at St. John's in New Memphis, the new St. John's Memorial Chapel, which is a representation of the old church there. She was the first to be baptized there, and that's a blessing. Let's stand as we go to God in prayer. pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, from whom our help comes, you have brought us into your holy Christian church and made Christ our shield from every enemy. Preserve us in such faith until at last you bring us out of this world in the resurrection forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, you have shown to your church the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for our sakes became poor, that by his poverty we might become rich. Give us generous hearts, that our abundance may supply our fellow saints to their need. Let our preachers serve for the sake of Christ's fall, not for earthly gain. And let those who have received excellence in the faith, speech, knowledge, and every other gift of God's word provide richly for the preaching of the gospel and the work of the church. Bless those who serve as our partners in ministry, especially our sister congregation, St. John's Lutheran in New Minden, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, your compassion does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men, but your mercies are new every morning. Bestow your steadfast love on every Christian home. Thank you for all of your gifts, especially the gift of life. Bless all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including McKinley, Riley, Kristen, Kathy, Donald, James, Raylan, Ruth, Brady, McKenzie, Holt, Stephanie, Atlas, Jupiter, Jake, Carter, and Linda. We also give you thanks and praise for the new birth you have granted to Lucille Marie Colley in holy baptism. We ask you to bless her and her family as she grows in faith. We give you thanks for the gift of Christian marriage. We ask you to bless those couples who are celebrating anniversaries, especially Brent and Celeste Reeder. Draw us all closer to you with each passing year. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, we ask you to bless these United States of America and have mercy upon us in leaving this land. Grant us leaders who are willing to govern in a way that is pleasing to you. And help us all to love our neighbors through the vocation of citizenship. Bless those who serve in the armed forces, including especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Daddy, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you did not turn aside the bold request of Jairus, nor the timid faith of the bleeding woman. We implore you, hear our prayers for those in need, drive away our fears, and give us believing faith. Give healing and strength to the sick and suffering, especially all who are on our prayer list this day, including those who are in care facilities, Freda, Eula, Ronnie, Bill, Jim, Charles, and Ben. We ask you to bless those who have been hospitalized recently, including Dorothy and John. And be with those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Tiffany, Thomas, Jim, Marvin, Amy, Tyson, Francis, Travis, Brent, Linda, Geraldine, Roland, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Give comfort to those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Kathy Bowen, in the knowledge that Christ has destroyed death, and all who die in him are only sleeping until you awaken them at the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son used his divine powers as a man on earth to heal and to save. We thank you that he continues to use his divine powers as a man bodily present in the Holy Sacrament to deliver his healing and saving power to faith. Grant that we may worthily seek this medicine of immortality in the Lord's Supper, believing his promises and receiving them now and in eternity. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. turn now to page 176 as we sing the offertory. Continue now to service of the sacrament beginning on page 177. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary. Put it all times and in all places, give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross, and rose from the dead, to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb of his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. soon. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in His peace. Amen. We sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, on page 181. Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for the closing hymn, number 924. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. It is to be gathered together here for worship. And what a blessing this past week was with our Vacation Bible School. I want to give thanks to all of you who helped in any way. It was wonderful to have over 40 volunteers. It's just amazing how many people came out to help us and couldn't do without you. So thank you all very much. We look forward to next year. Now that we're past VBS, kind of is the low season. There's not as much happening. There are still plenty of things happening, but not as much. Our next big thing, of course, we're looking ahead in the communities of Off-Route Fest a couple weeks from now. And related to that, there will be, again, a worship service like we normally do for those who will be working on Off-Route Fest Sunday and won't be able to make it to church at 9:30. We will have a brief worship service under the pavilion in the park starting at 8 o'clock sharp. I will be under there with my guitar, and I'll preach my sermon for the day. And so we'll have a chance to sing and pray and worship together. So I hope you can come and join us at 8 o'clock. That's two Sundays from now. This week, we have Independence Day, July 4th, is this coming Thursday. So our church school office will be closed on that day. So just be aware of that. And really, the only other thing to mention again related to our solar panel project, you see the insert that's in the bulletin for you. Just to clarify for everybody, at this time, we feel that it is best to simply accept pledges rather than everyone donating their money right now, since this project, the next phase of the project, will not proceed until we have reached that $105,000. It seems prudent to us to simply receive pledges now. And once we get that number, then we will give you a phone call and you can give your actual donation at that time. So you can make a pledge using this form, or you can even email our treasurers. treasurer@trinityloyalty.org will also be available to you, or you can simply contact us in the office as well. But thank you in advance to those of you who have already pledged. Thankfully, over $25,000 has already been pledged toward the project. And we look forward to one more solar Sunday next week. Any other announcements today? All right. Well, enjoy the rest of this day. God's blessings on your week. And peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.